Hello, everyone, and welcome to Making a Difference in Mental Health Show podcast with your host, Counselor Prince Ofei. The main purpose of this show is to help every listener of this podcast understand how important our mental health is and to address everything you need to know about mental health, mental disorders, psychology, and general well-being. This 31st episode is a special interview with Mickey George on the topic Mickey's clinical social work and art therapy journey, all about art therapy. Mickey is a board certified art therapist, and she's also a clinical social worker who is licensed in the United States, especially Virginia and Maryland. After working with older adults for 14 years at long-term care facilities and even government mental health programs, she opened a private practice in Virginia in 2018. She enjoys supporting older adults, immigrants, and clients of color in her private practice through providing therapy. And of course, she has taught as an adjunct faculty at George Mason University's Social Work Graduate Program, as well as that of George Washington University's Art Therapy Graduate Program. She is currently a board of director at the American Art Therapy Association. And being a visual artist, you can expect that Mickey exhibits her own oil paintings, mass media arts, and images created by printmaking methods. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the episode for today. I'm really excited about today's episode. I have a guest with me, and of course, my guest for today is Mickey George. She's a clinical social worker, board certified art therapist in Virginia and Maryland, USA. She's also a board of director of the American Art Therapy Association. Our topic for today is Mickey's clinical social work and art therapy journey. We want to know all about art therapy. Mickey, welcome to Making a Difference in Mental Health Show.
Thank you, Counselor Prince.
You're welcome. I've been looking forward to this interview. It was as if the date was not coming anytime soon.
I know. I have been excited about this too. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So can you help us know who Mickey is?
Okay. Well then, yes, let me introduce myself first, right?
Okay.
So I'm Mickey Gert, and like you introduced me to others, I'm a licensed clinical social worker and board certified art therapist. And right now I have a private practice in Falls Church, Virginia, that's right outside of Washington, D.C. area. So that's my kind of like a full-time job. Here, I see clients who are half of my clients are older adults. That's who I specialize. So they're over 65. And then wow. The other half of my clients, many of them are people who are over 18, and then many of them identify as people of color. So I have a lot of clients with different backgrounds culturally, which I really enjoy working.
Wow.
So that's one part of my job. Yeah. And then I also teach as an adjunct faculty at George Washington University's graduate art therapy program. And okay. This year, past year, and then another year, I am also serving as a board member at the American Art Therapy Association. So that's like all that, the kind of like a title that I have maybe. And then, you know, I'm an art therapist, so then that means I'm an artist too, right? And I've been doing my artist practice ever since I was 16, doing oil painting and collage and printmaking. So that's kind of like who I am. Yes, and I'm an immigrant from Japan, and I moved to the United States 25 years ago. And so here I am.
That's very encouraging. It looks like you have a lot on your table.
I do sometimes too much. It's hard to say no. Sometimes I'm working on that.
Oh, I see. So, can you help us know why you became a clinical social worker? And of course, what even moved you into art therapy as well?
Yes. So as I said, I'm both, right? Which is a little bit unique. The way that I came about and in having both discipline on my in my hands is my degree and master degree is in social work. I have
Okay.
a MSW, and then along with that, I also earned graduate level certification in art therapy. Most of our therapists that you will meet, they would have art therapy master's degree, but I didn't take that route because I came here to this country wanting to study psychology first. So
Okay.
in my undergrad, I was art and psychology double major, you know. And then as I heard about art therapy, I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. But then I started looking into it. At the time, 20 years ago, there wasn't a lot of jobs as art therapist.
Okay.
So then when I was looking, when I was working at Alzheimer's Association as my first internship in undergrad, the social worker there told me, well, if you get master of social work, you can do psychotherapy, you can incorporate art, it's more flexible, and there are more jobs. So I just kind of went with that, and then I got my social work degree and then art therapy license. And first 10 years or so, my job that I had was not art therapist by title, but it was a social work
Okay.
jobs. But every place I went, you know, I'm both, right? So I brought art therapy into it. So then I work at nursing home and I'll do art therapy groups. I'll go to outpatient clinic at the government and then I'll start art therapy program. So really then the people who hired me, they got to get, they actually saw both of me, social work and art therapy either way.
Wow. Wow. So does that mean that right from the onset, you had a plan with the psychology, for which reason you did it in combination with art?
Yes.
Okay.
Psychology in US is more advanced than Japan, which is a
Okay.
reason why I wanted to come here to study first. But then when I left the country 25 years ago, I didn't know about art therapy.
Wow.
But when I started, you know, studying here, then funny enough, my mother back home read an article on the newspaper about an art therapist who was trained in US and then returned to Japan and working with older adults in a nursing home doing art. And that particular article actually got me thinking about this whole career. I was like, I want to do that. I want to work with older people. I want to do, you know, art with them and then help them.
Oh, okay.
Life is interesting, you know.
Wow, that's great. And I'm sure looking back, you are very happy with the decision you took.
Yes, I think so. I think so. I worked with older adults, you know, with some clients with memory loss and then others without. But really, most of my career, I've been working with older adults. And that was really the start of that, definitely.
Oh, okay. With this background, can you help us appreciate what clinical social work is all about?
Yes. So as I said, you know, social work is a very flexible profession. They work in many different places. The clinical social work, mainly, you will see social workers working in a behavioral health setting, like mental health setting, directly working with the individuals. With
Okay.
social work degree, you could also work at the policy level, macro level, trying to change the structure of the society. Or at the institutional level, which is working with the schools or changing the systems there. But clinical social work is really about how you as a worker work with the people directly. And for
Okay.
me, that's a lot more interesting because that's where the stories are, right? People's
Okay.
experiences, sometimes their sufferings, but their resilience as well. And I get to witness those things and then work with them to really help them understand their own stories and their lives. And to me, that's where the richness of our work is about. But
Okay.
clinical social work is really about that section.
All right. Okay. So, what's the difference between a clinical social worker and a general social worker? Because there are some persons who are social workers, but they don't have the clinical aspect to them.
Right. And I think major difference is whether or not that social worker has training in therapy, the
Okay.
psychotherapy. The one
Okay.
with clinical experience would have the mental health knowledge and
Okay.
how to conduct the therapy sessions.
Okay. Okay. That's great. That's great. So, since you indicated that clinical social workers can find themselves in different settings, can you give some of the specific settings that they can find themselves? Of course, you mentioned a few in person.
For the clinical social workers?
Yes.
Maybe I think you see them in hospitals,
Okay.
nursing homes, and actually more and more clinical social workers are in private practice setting or group practice setting doing psychotherapy, really.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Otherwise, you might see them in more of an agency setting. And so sometimes, I'm sure you probably run into this as well. Like, as a consumer, as a client, when they look for a therapist, the title of the person might be therapist, but the person could have clinical social work background or master of counseling background with LPC or family and the marriage and the family license. And so they have different licenses.
Okay.
And to me, there's a difference in how we do therapy. But probably for the client, it might be harder to see the difference.
Okay. Could that be because many of the clients have not somehow gotten to learn more about the different sections within the entire therapy practice? So that they
That
just
could well
realize that
be.
if you're a therapist, then basically maybe you are all the same in a way.
I mean, there's definitely like a consumer education part that could be done better. And but
Okay.
also, I think we ourselves, amongst the mental health profession, we may not be as clear neither as of the differences sometimes.
Okay.
But to actually like articulate the differences, sometimes it's not something that we often talk about with our colleagues, unless you're in a multidisciplinary group setting.
Okay.
So when I used to work for the local government agency, we had social workers and we had counselors and psychologists. So in that particular place, we talked about differences of how we approach clients' sessions so much more than when I was working with just with social workers.
Oh,
And
okay.
what I gathered, I mean, like otherwise, like, I guess it won't come up as a conversation.
Of
But
course.
I don't know if you, I wonder if you agree with this. But with social work, we have been trained to pay attention to the background and the environment of where the client is living. As
Okay.
in, so in social work, there is this a theory called person and environment theory.
Okay.
So then you might have a client coming into your therapy room, right? But then the symptoms of a mental illness or problem or challenge that this person is describing, it's not just really about that person, but it's about the society that the person lives, about the
Okay.
family that they might be residing with, for the particular community that they're living or the culture that that person is coming from. All of these things are not independent from each other, but they are part of the system this individual person is in. So then when we are doing counseling as a social worker, then we are really paying attention to those things and then making changes, not just through that person, but through some of those environmental things as well. Then.
Of
but
course.
for some of the other discipline. Yeah, so I wonder how on your end, as
Yeah,
a
of course.
counselor, you...
It's very important what you just said, because otherwise there will be a limitation as to how much impact one will be able to make with the patient or the client. Because environmental stress therapy is also very crucial, just as you mentioned. Yeah, the environment plays so much role, so that the issue about nurture and then nature versus nurture interaction is very key.
And I
Yeah.
think that this piece, right now, I think there's a little bit more shift in focusing on the societal things or cultural things. And it's very important for us to pay attention to these things, especially when we are working with clients from different cultures.
Yeah. You are right. You are
Because,
right.
You're in Ghana, right?
Yes.
And I think, you know, when we study psychology, wherever the place we study, whether if it's Europe or US or anywhere, most of the textbooks are based on European theories and Western theories.
Exactly.
So when I meet with, like, I mean, there is no question about that, right?
Exactly.
So when we work with people who are not from that culture, then we as therapists, we become creative here, right? We need to like figure out, does this really fit for my people? And sometimes they don't. So then we need to really pay attention to where those textbooks and theories are coming from and be really sensitive to those things.
Okay.
But that's also part of the environment, I think,
Of
as a
course,
social
of
worker.
course. I think you've brought out some very important areas that I would like you to throw more light on. So that leads me to the difference between clinical social worker and that of maybe clinical counselor or psychologist. What's the difference as far as the work is concerned? Of course, you've hinted on that, but can you somehow outline some of them?
I could be wrong, but the professional counselors, I think, focus more on the individual rather than the environment, per se, of the surroundings that we were just talking about. That's one
Okay.
thing. But it's also shifting, a trend is shifting. So it might be changing. In terms of the difference between social work and psychology, social workers cannot do the standardized testing or a formal evaluation of the profession to conduct that.
Okay.
So maybe that's the major differences, in my opinion.
Okay, that's great. That leads me to our next area of discussion, and that has to do with art therapy. I have been so excited to know more about art therapy. It sounds so wonderful.
I know, you just said my favorite word.
Over here,
yes.
in most parts of Africa, I haven't come across any art therapist. Any art therapist. I haven't come across anyone. So probably we will need more of that to be introduced in our system with time. So can you help us understand what art therapy is all about?
Yes. Well, I'm sure our therapy will be coming to Africa sometime soon. I know there are some art therapists from that area. So, but yes, let me explain what it is first, right? And then there may be more questions here. So art therapy is a form of mental health treatment. It's a form of psychotherapy. So everything that the EU counselor plans has been really educating everyone about through other podcast episodes about what psychotherapy is and what psychotherapy is not, that they're all true for art therapy.
Okay.
And art therapy can do more, I would argue.
Okay. Okay.
Because art therapy actually can tap into every single part of the brain. So it activates more. But in art therapy, there are three things that you might not see in talk therapy. Number
Okay.
one is the creative process of making art in a session. And then number two is the art media, meaning what kind of art material you use. And then the third is the artwork that the client makes in session. So these three. So let me just explain how our therapists use these three things in session.
Okay.
So the creative process, right?
Okay.
I always say to my students and clients that how you relate to art making is how you relate to your life. Okay. And so what I mean by that is, let's say that I put a white piece of paper in front of you, and then I ask you to make something, and then some people will dive right into it, whereas other people are very hesitant,
Okay.
right? Each person relate to that piece of paper in front of them differently, and that really shows the way that the person operates in their own lives when something new is presented, for example. So as
Okay.
an art therapist, I'm trained to observe the client's way of living through the way that they are actually making for the like overwhelmed with anxiety. Then I would rather actually give them something more contained, like color pencils or just like even like a regular pencil, and then have them draw on smaller piece of paper. Or sometimes I will draw a circle. And then ask them to fill in the circle because then the circle becomes a container, right? And then the
Okay.
pen or pencil itself is rigid. So then that's also very controlling. And then that gives the client comfort when they're having this sense of overwhelm. Whereas if I give somebody who is overwhelmed paint, it's going to go all over the place. And then in our therapy, we say more fluid the art material is, then more emotion that comes up. So we don't want to do that to somebody who's already having a flood of emotions. Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. So
So like our
you don't
therapist did,
rush.
yeah.
That means, if I understand you correctly, you don't rush into the choice of the material until you have an appreciable understanding of the nature of the client's presenting issue or presenting problem.
Sometimes the understanding it comes from having them do an art making, actually.
Okay.
In some cases we do art making in the first session, but I usually, well, it depends. It really depends on how the client is presenting. So we use our assessment eyes on the client, right?
Okay.
Then I could ask them and then to pick out seven images that has something to do with them, and then later out as piece of art by arranging it on white piece of paper, and then ask them to tell the story. It's usually going to be about them, but that could be like the start of the art making. And then as I see how they engage with that, like collage making, then I can select the second way of art making. If they look like they can benefit from drawing, then I might guide them to that. If they look like they can do sculpture, then that might benefit more. I'll go to that with them. So it's really a combination of, yes, getting to know them sometimes through talking, but oftentimes through art making, and then guide them through that process.
Okay,
And then
okay.
at the end of it, we have artwork, right? Because
Oh,
they're
I
making something.
see.
So then with the artwork, so that's the third piece that's in our therapy. We'll look at it together. In the artwork, there may be some symbolism. So we want to explore that. So if it's an image, what I usually do is I'll ask the client to put it, just like a little bit away so that they could look at that piece like an artwork in a gallery, take some distance, and then ask them to observe their own artwork. And I'll ask questions about that artwork, like,
Okay.
how do you feel when you look at that image? Or what part of the image stands out to you? Or what are some of the symbols that you are noticing? Or is there any part of the artwork that you want to change?
Okay.
And assumption here is that sometimes the art that you make brings out your unconscious. So your art might know about you more than you may realize.
Wow.
It's very interesting, and I think that's the most fascinating part of my job.
Yeah, I could see
Like,
that.
right, like last week, I had a not last week, I'm sorry, last month, I had a client of mine, a 73-year-old. You okay?
Yes, we are okay. You indicated you had a client who is 70 year plus.
Yes, and she was drawing her parenting experience.
Okay.
And then her drawing was herself up on the mountain, climbing the mountain, looking down. And when she was observing her own art, she said, "I never realized this, Mickey, but I think I have been feeling lonely because this lady on mountain looks very lonely, alone."
Oh, I see.
So yeah, and it was like almost like a stick figure. There was no decoration, no trees, nothing. It's just the mountain and her on it. So I asked her, right, after she realized that she was really experiencing loneliness of this as she was parenting her children who had mental illnesses. Then I asked her what she would give to this person, meaning her in the artwork. So then she said, "I'm gonna give her a portable chair so that she could carry while she climb on the mountain, and she can rest. She's allowed to rest when she needs to, instead of keep climbing all the time."
Okay.
Because in her real life too, she felt like because her children were not doing well often, that she couldn't rest, and she always had the problems of and keep going. And that was exhausting and lonely for her.
From what you are just saying, it does clearly indicate that there is a lot of self-discovery that comes up for even the patients.
Yes, self-discovery. That's the word. Absolutely. Yeah. I see psychotherapy in general as method to discover ourselves.
Yes,
It's about raising self-awareness.
exactly. To all our listeners, we are going to take a brief 2 minute break and then we'll be back to continue our discussion with Mickey in the area of art therapy because this area needs to be well explored. And I know many of you out there would want to know a little more about art therapy. So we'll be back soon. So, can you help us appreciate whether it is every patient that can benefit from art therapy?
Pretty much everyone can
Okay.
benefit from our therapy. Yes. And I think I was going to say, but not many people think that.
Okay.
Because when I use the word art, people get scared. You know what I mean? Like,
Yes,
oh,
yes.
I'm not an artist. I can't do it. People have a very different assumptions about what art should be.
Okay.
So, like if, and this is actually about adults. For children, the bar is low. But as we become older, somehow the society teaches us art should be in a certain way. And then somehow many adults, I'm going to say like 8 people out of 10 people, if I give them white piece of paper and say, can you make art? People will say, oh, I can't draw. And
Okay.
so I think the part of this is really then for me as an art therapist, like I said, art therapy, people, anybody could benefit from it, right? And so then when I get that response, I'll say, who taught you what art should look like? Where is that should statement coming from? And what
Okay.
does that mean for you, right? Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of our true self reflected in our own creativity and art. So, you know, if the should statement is getting in the way, then we want to pay attention to that. But really, and oftentimes what ends up happening in my therapy sessions is I don't say, should we make art? I would say, would you like to, you know, people will come in and into the session and they talk about problems, because not all of them that I see would come in wanting art therapy, but they do, most of them end up doing art therapy anyway.
Okay.
Because I, at some point I will suggest, would you like to do something hands-on?
Okay.
And then I bring out some art materials, and then that's how we start. But yeah, anybody could benefit.
I see. Have you had any instance where a patient declined
Yes.
the approach of art therapy for their treatment?
Yes, that happens. And I think that's a, I actually just had that last week. I have a new client who is in her 70s, and she actually is an artist. And she picked me because I'm an art therapist. And we did a couple of sessions with art making in it. And then by the third session, which was last week, she said she does not want to do art during the session. She would rather actually talk. And
Oh,
for her, he felt, which is kind of interesting, right?
yeah, with a background in arts.
Exactly. And sometimes this happens. She's not the first one this happened, because for her, art making was a way for her to make her feel better. Like she has a certain kind of art that she wants to do, and she was not ready to divert from the type of art she was doing. Because in our therapy, we're not making something to put it into display or exhibition. We are making art to understand ourselves and our emotions, our thoughts, and our beliefs. So then not all the art we make are going to be pretty, right?
Okay.
And for some people, then that type of way of using art is very different from how they wanted to use it. And then they don't want to go there. And that's okay.
Wow. What about, let's say, the mental health conditions? Are there some specific mental health conditions that when you use art therapy, the success rate is very high?
That's an excellent question. Art therapy has been employed more in trauma work.
Okay.
And that's because, you know, earlier I was saying art therapy actually facilitate us to the client to access their own brain in a full way. It's not just the thinking part, but thinking part, feeling part,
okay,
and the physical sensation part. Because neuroscience wise, the brain has three different parts to feel those three things. And when we do talk therapy, we're using only one part of that brain then. But trauma actually affects all three parts of the brain. So
Yes.
then if we want to actually then process the trauma and then heal from the trauma, the therapy that's going to work to resolve the trauma should be actually touching on all three parts of the brain, which our therapy does.
Okay,
So
okay.
there's a lot of neuroscience related research coming out about our therapy, and that's been very validating in that trauma work area. Otherwise, other parts, because our therapy is a non-verbal way, right? Be able to speak and use words to describe their feelings, they benefit greatly from our therapy. In the past work, before I started private practice 4 years ago, I worked for government agency serving clients with severe mental illness. Many of them had schizophrenia. And
Okay.
I see how when I did art therapy with that population, right, with that condition, the clients who were hesitant to describe their hallucinations or fear, they can describe those things in images.
Okay.
And so that's another particular condition and diagnosis that responds very well to our therapy.
Wow. Wow. So
yeah.
Over the years of your practice, even though, of course, as far as your private practice is concerned, you just indicated it's been for about 4 years, but outside of your private practice, you've been practicing. So in terms of the success rate, what percentage would you give to art therapy being a treatment plan and its success rates? Especially from your experience.
Maybe we need to define success first. Meaning like graduating from therapy, is that what you mean?
Okay, that's a part of it. It could also include the presenting issues the clients came into therapy with in the first place. Did they feel satisfied that they've been able to get help? Of course, I understand that it's not every patient who comes into therapy will go through the entire process till the appropriate official termination. So in that case, sometimes some may not officially terminate it, and therefore you didn't finish your work with them, even though they may not continue to turn up. But all in all, if you are to look at it generally, how would you say the success rate has been?
Statistically, I don't have a statistics, right? The numbers. But what I could say is this. So I have been working in the human service field for close to 20 years, right?
Yes.
And in this 20 years career, I've helped a number of people. And my clients, the times that, when I'm leaving or they're leaving, and I'll ask them, what was the best part of, the treatment? Or what was the part that you appreciated the most about working with me? Right? That's
okay.
part of the termination process that I will interview them and ask them about these things. Many times when I have done art with them, they will always bring that part up.
Wow.
Okay, Mickey, you were helpful, but what was most helpful was making art and understanding them through art. Like, I have many clients who would say, I know more about myself now because of what we made.
Okay.
That's really often the sentence that comes up.
Wow.
And that's empowering, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
So, What are some of the misconceptions out there about art therapy?
I think the biggest one was the one that I mentioned earlier. Like, you have to have some artistic background.
Okay.
That's a misconception, which totally is not true. I think the other part is, this might be actually in general applicable to art as well. Like, you have to have not extra money, but you have to have, because you have to use art material, it might cost more.
Okay.
And that might not be true depending on which art therapist you are seeing. I use whatever is available. Like last week, I was seeing clients online since this pandemic. And so then at this time, since we transitioned to pandemic, I really asked my clients to use whatever is at their home to make art. And last week, I asked them to use aluminum foil to make a sculpture.
Okay.
And that works. So, you know, art doesn't have to be expensive, neither art therapy.
Okay.
It's really all we are looking for is your creativity and your willingness to get to know yourself.
Wow. Wow. You just mentioned online therapy. So let's look at that.
Yes.
Maybe even look at just teletherapy. Now, if you have a patient that you are attending to through teletherapy, how are you effectively going to make use of in-session art therapy since it's not video?
Right. So that was quite a bit of a transition for me 2 years ago to give up my physical office and see everyone online and still do art therapy. There are some things that I cannot do like I used to, but I can still do quite a bit with them. With some clients who can afford or have some art supplies, I have a list of supplies that that I recommend for them to get. And
okay.
then so that they get the set first, and then I know what they have. And then depending on what they're struggling with each week, I will suggest what kind of art for them to make during the session. So I do it that way. For other clients who may not have access to art supplies, like I mentioned earlier, I'll just ask them what they have at home. And sometimes I use just pen and a paper quite a bit. If you have copy papers and a ballpoint pen, I can give you 20 different creative ideas
Wow.
for you to do. And through that, then I'm actually once again getting to know them, and then they're getting to know themselves, right? If you
Yes.
have more, you know, things, you can do more. But sometimes aiming for more doesn't produce more neither.
Oh, okay.
So I use whatever we have. I think the biggest difference in person and online between those two is I used to be able to see how they are making art, like if we are sitting at the table together, right?
Okay.
So, but now I can see their face, but not what they're making. So I have to be very intentional to go back and ask them about their creative process more. Like, which part did you start drawing first, for example?
That was also one of the concerns I was having. That's why I even asked that question. Okay. So you have that addressed based on the trend or the direction of questioning.
Yes. And
Okay.
I've tried a couple different ways. Like, you know, I could ask the client to point their camera to their art while they're making art. But if I do that, I don't get to see their facial expression. And
Okay.
I felt that I lost more in that way. I would rather look at their face while they're making art. And in that way, I could see what kind of mood they were in when they're making it.
Okay.
Yeah, but we adapt as therapists, don't we?
Yeah, it looks like art therapy is very exciting.
Yes, you can do it as individual, you can do it as group as well.
Okay. So I'm getting the idea that one of the major misconceptions regarding art therapy is that one must have an art background. Then there is the other misconception that art therapy somehow is expensive. And you've been able to address both of these misconceptions. My question then is, since you are one of the key persons within the association, the American Art Therapy Association, as a board of director, my question is, what efforts is your board and your association putting in order to get some of these misconceptions addressed? Of course, it will take time, but what effort is being put in so that over time, these two major misconceptions could be well addressed?
I think part of this, which is one of the biggest missions for American Art Therapy Association, is to educate the public about art therapy. Art therapy is a relatively new mental health field or mental health profession compared to other ones. Quite educate others, clients, and the society in general what art therapy is really, because it's different from art as therapy, meaning like if you can make art, that's healing, right? That's very different from this targeted, treatment-focused way of using art. So our therapy association and the profession really puts effort in distinguishing those things, right?
Okay.
That it's a mental health profession. And so part of this, which actually also is related to the cost issue, is our therapy profession is going through licensing and the policy changes here.
Okay.
So, you know, at the beginning of our podcast here, we talked about me being a board certified art therapist, right?
Yes.
Our therapists are, we have a board certification, but in most of the state, we don't have license. So many of our therapists, like myself, have to have another mental health license to be able to bill insurance for our mental health services.
Okay. So yeah. That's where the
and
clinical
that,
social work comes in for you.
Absolutely. And I can, you know, I can bill whichever the insurance as long as I'm, you know, accepting them using social work license, but not with our therapy. So part of the biggest mission that at the Art Therapy Association has is really to advance this licensure requirement so that many art therapists could get the art therapy mental health license, and then that makes art therapy available to many more people, right?
Okay.
So those are our two big agendas, and the more license and other things are available to our therapists, then the clients who may not be able to afford, like, and in the United States historically there will be clients who are marginalized, then, you know, people who have low income or marginalized people, they could also then receive our therapy. So, you know, that's really what we are trying to get to.
Wow, it looks like it will take a little time.
It will take a little time. But you know,
since
isn't
it
that
looks like
the
there is
kind of
also policy dimension to
everything?
It looks like there's a policy dimension to it.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a policy dimension to it, and licensed professional counselors like yourself in the United States next year will be able to take Medicare, which is the insurance for older adults in America.
Yes.
So they just made a change, and many art therapists are LPC. So now next year, art therapy will be more available to older adults. So I'm excited about
that. Wow. That's good news.
Really good news. I'm so happy about it.
I'm sure most of your members will also be happy about that.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the instance of, okay, let me put it this way. What do you love most about the work you do?
To witness people learning about themselves. I really think that my best moments come back to that. You used the phrase self-discovery earlier.
Yeah.
And I think that captures such a big part of my work that I do with them, with the clients.
Okay.
I get to see, like, I'm facilitating something here through therapy sessions, through art, through talk, whatever it is. But then it's the clients who understand themselves and then discover themselves. And then they feel more confident or they feel more empowered as they kind of graduate from the sessions. And those things are, those are the moments that's like really, really rewarding.
Wow.
So I appreciate those parts. And then I also appreciate moments of connections with my clients and my colleagues, because at the end of the day, many of my clients and my colleagues, we share this love of art, right? So then, like, that's a great part of my profession as well.
Okay. All this while, we haven't spoken much about your teaching, lecturing aspect of your work. So can you just tell me, of course, in the early stages of our discussion, you pass a few comments about that, but we haven't delved deep into it. So can you help us know for how long you've been teaching art therapy, and which courses
Sure.
do you teach and where do you teach? Can you give us some background to that aspect of your work?
Yes. Right now, for the last year and a half, I have been teaching at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., in graduate level art therapy program, teaching one course called Practicum Supervision. So this is a class that you take when you are doing internship. So I'm really providing a group supervision each week, meeting with 8 students there. That's my work. Now, previous to that, I started teaching in 2018. First couple of years, I was teaching at the social work department in another university called George Mason University. And there I was doing a lecture on clinical practice with older adults with master level social work students.
Okay.
But, you know, as I told you before, wherever you bring Mickey, there is art in it. So in the clinical practices older adults class, my students were doing some art and hands-on things.
Wow. So what has been some of the feedback you get from your students?
I understand that my students learn the most from experiential things, meaning not so much of myself talking, but having them experience. For example, there was one class I asked them to make an image of what does a successful aging look like for you?
Okay.
Then have a discussion with the peers, compare and which theory was in your mind, because there's many different theories about what defines aging successful. But, you know, looking at the image of their own their successful older life, they have a different way of thinking about these theories then. So something like that, that they like that. Other times, I have a kit that makes them instantly older. So I have like shaded glasses with tape all over it. I also have gloves for them to wear. So then essentially, then I'll ask them to open a pill bottle with gloves and sunglasses on.
Wow.
And have them kind of like experience the losses that the older clients may have of senses. You know, they don't see well, they may not hear well, their dexterity of the fingers go away as they get older. So then opening up the pill bottle and then try to see what color of the pills, those are difficult tasks for some of the older adults, right?
Okay.
It's one thing to hear about these things or read about it on textbook, but it's another to experience it yourself.
Okay,
So
okay.
when I teach, I bring in as many of these experiential things as possible. Likewise, in the art therapy department, when I teach, I try to be very intentional about art making. I mean, if you are a therapist, you better be making art, right?
Yes.
So, you know, so I try to model that by really bringing in my own artist practice into the teaching. Last semester, I was sharing with my students how I do printmaking so that they could do that with their clients in a group setting.
Okay. That's great. That's great. And can you help us know some of your other works out there and how people can find them?
Yes. There are a lot of Mickey Gert out there. So if you Google me, you probably get everything. But I have two websites. One of them is for my private practice. It's my private practice is called Emerald Leaf Counseling. So the web address is emeraldleafcc.com.
Okay.
So that, which also is connected to my art therapy practice anyway, that's mikigert.com. And that's where you see a lot of my artworks. And then on Instagram, you can find me, Miki Gert.
So as far as social media is concerned, you are mainly on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah. I have a mixed feelings and love and hate relationship with social media.
Oh, okay.
So I try to limit. I do have LinkedIn as well. But
okay.
Mainly some of the things that I do in terms of art practice or art therapy practice is shared through the website or Instagram.
All right. Okay. That's great to know. So on this note, are there any final words you would want to share with our listeners out there?
I want to invite everyone to really use their creativity when they feel like they get stuck in their lives.
Okay.
It's something that each of us have without, you know, it's something that's given to us when we are born.
Okay.
That's what creativity is. So if you feel like you got somewhere stuck in your life and you're not sure what to do, then oftentimes the key to get out of the place is hidden and wrapped in your creativity.
Wow.
So there's many different ways to unwrap that. Sometimes it's through art therapy, sometimes it's a different therapy, but let's find out a way to use your creativity so that you could get through that stuck place.
Okay. I must say that our discussion, our interview has been very, very enlightening. I'm so grateful for having
Hello.
You on this show.
Thank you. You have so many great questions, Counselor Prince. I appreciate you so much.
You're welcome. So thanks so much. And I hope that in future, we'll be able to have you on the show once more, but we'll talk about other aspects of your work. For instance, an area that we may get into more is the American Art Therapy Association and much of what the association is doing to help art therapists and all that. And other areas that are already exciting to me based on the direction of our discussion for today.
Yes, there's many, many more discussions. And I appreciate your podcast so much for educating everyone. Mental health is important. So thank you.
You are welcome. Do well to enjoy the rest of your week. I trust you have learned something new today too. Don't hesitate to use the knowledge you have acquired by listening to this podcast to help either yourself or someone get the appropriate professional help. Do well to share this information and podcast with someone. And that's how together we will make a difference as far as the mental health of people around us is concerned. Thanks for joining me in today's episode on the topic, Mickey's Clinical Social Work and Art Therapy Journey, all about art therapy. Join me twice a week as we delve into other topics geared towards making a difference in your own mental health. Find me on all social media platforms with the name Counselor Prince Ofe or Counselor Prince and Associates Consult. And make sure to subscribe, like, and comment on any podcast app. Thank you. Have a sound and healthy week.